love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Max Headroom. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew, what happened, buddy? What happened tonight?
Oh, you're talking about the Deborah Norville
thing?
You
want nuts on Deborah Norville?
No, I just went a little nuts because...
She's hot.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. She's a sleeper. I'm sure she's a pain in the ass, but what I'm saying is she slides under people's boner radar. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, there's that newsy chick. But take a good look at her. She's been pretty foxy. And she's not a young woman, but she's been damn foxy. I mean, on the air for like 10 years and foxy.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So
she's hot, bro. Don't give her a hard time.
No, I wouldn't give her a hard time. I was listening to these attorneys talk about the Mary Kay Letourneau thing.
What were you doing?
I was going to comment on that, and they're going, "Oh, it's just the love affair of the century. They're both adults." I thought, "Are you? What is the matter with people?"
Yeah, for those of you who've been living in caves, she was the school teacher that had the affair with the Samoan gangbanger, or at least that's what he looked like to me.
That's what he became.
12. Yeah. No scarier 12-and-a-half-year-old, by the way. That's a 12-and-a-half-year-old look like putting number 2 pencil in your neck. Like, you look at that kid and it's like, what? He's 12-and-a-half. You're supposed to have the mustache and definitely not a Jew, by the way. When we start playing, definitely not a Jew when I'm done with my theme music.
Yeah. He'll be on that list.
Banging your hot school teacher at 12-and-a-half. Definitely not. Yeah. Well, I'm going to work it out.
Do you think maybe he'll go for the little pencil mustache eventually?
I'm hoping, because that's a class look at any age. So he's, and by the way, when you're 12 and a half, 13, and you're banging, you're arguably, for a school teacher, hot, attractive
35,
woman.
35.
At the time, I think she's like 33.
30, all right.
The point is your brain must be going off like a Jiffy Pop.
Yes.
Pan, you know what I mean? Just like I couldn't even process what was going on if I was nailing that.
No, that's right.
And if you were telling me like, tonight after school we're going to meet by the lake. I got my husband's car. The kids are. But here's the other thing.
What that etches into your head though. You're having that kind of experience with foldouts.
Let me tell you how long
that etched stuff in your brain.
Let me tell you how long I could keep that under my hat. By the way. Because I would be on the top of my room. No, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be driving one of those old cars with the loudspeaker on it, like old guys who are running for Senate in the 50s.
From some out of a Latin American
country. Had a bell ringing. Guess who's getting laid? Look out, everybody. I would be on the roof. I would be shouting it from the mountaintops.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, you could not shut me up. Like, if she said to me, look, I could lose my job. I will lose my job.
Like,
I could do prison time. Do you understand?
Got
and
it.
Whatever we have will be gone the second you open your mouth.
Got it, Chris?
Will disappear. Hello? Hold on. I was on the phone talking to my friends about nailing. What'd you say about you cut me off? How's that go? I could not shut up about that for a second. I couldn't do it now. Could you, Drew, at 12 and a half, could you, or 13, could you have shut up about that?
Impossible. No, but not, I mean, I would not. I'd be walking around in a daze like a zombie. Like, what just happened? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
You're like, what?
All right. So
I wouldn't be able to process it.
He's banging her. Thank Christ the lady's got 7 kids now. And by the way, at what point do we cut that privilege off? You know what I mean? Like, okay, here's the thing. I have 3.5 Heinekens drive home, get pulled over, waiting on an arrow here in Culver City. Yeah. I blow a .08. I do it again within a year and a half or 2 years. Yeah. I lost my license.
Yeah.
No privileges.
Yeah.
You're dangerous. No, no, no.
Dangerous.
You can't. This is a privilege.
You're
not
dangerous.
A right. We're taking it away. You'll be taking the bus.
Dangerous society.
That's right. After the 6th kid.
Yeah.
Can't intervene? What's going on? Government can't say anything? Government is up our ass for everything. There's nothing the government doesn't crawl up our ass about. You can't smoke a butt on the beach.
I know.
You're telling me this witch can't have... She's on her sixth kid and no one's intervening?
And by the way, the next piece of comedy was they want to show how this kid is serious-minded and interested in being a father. And they've got Matt Lauer interviewing him. And he says, so how about the kids? What do you feel about that? And the kid goes, well, you know, you can't really take that away now. But yeah, I love my kids. I want to be a...
Sure.
And I thought... Hey, you can't take it away. It's like, I'd undo it if I could. That's my take on fatherhood.
It's a great parent.
I'd undo it if I could, but yeah, you can't. Now, what are you going
to do? You know, Drew, if you had a magic wand, your triplets would be gone, but you make them go away.
I thought, and they were using that and really having a discussion about what evidence that was of what a serious-minded father this was.
Yeah.
I went, what? What is the matter with people? Anyway.
What is it about this society that we're not able to label people idiots and incompetent and unable, or... We're too quick to do it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's one or the other. It's like I see Jocelyn Elders, the Surgeon General of the United States, suggests people wear a condom. It's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. We got to get her out of there.
Yeah.
We got to move. Oh no, she's gone. You're gone, sweetie. Yeah. Boom. Yeah, get back in the kitchen, rattle them pots and pans. We're going to strip the epaulets off your crazy outfit. You're back. You're back. I'm going to slap you with the white glove. You've been busted down to short order cook now. Right. But other people can just spit out, you know, Courtney Love can do mounds and mounds and mounds of drugs for years and years and years and years. I mean, should we still get an interview? Oh, you're doing good. Yeah, you're going to stop now? Fantastic. Everybody gets a second chance, and then some people get zero.
Well, and everybody has infinite capacity for change. Right. Just ask Dr. Phil, who's being sued, by the way.
Why?
Because a guy with bipolar who can't will his way out of his illness is saying, hey, this is against the Americans with Disabilities Act. This is not right. You won't let me on your show because I have a mental illness that can't be willed away.
He won't let him on a show?
No.
See, this show only puts mental patients on the show.
Of course.
We could be sued by sane people for not being represented on this show.
All right, let's get some.
All right, let's go. Let's break it down. What do you say now? Let's go. Let's
just
get a hand
you
in.
And I tonight.
Hey, take a knee now. Hey, that helmet, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. That helmet, not a chair. Not a chair. Take a knee. Grab a knee. Break it down.
How did
here we go.
Seth seemed last night. Seth Green.
Seth seemed good.
Yeah, it did seem good.
Yeah. Why are you asking that?
Just because he seemed more into the show than usual.
Seth, he's always been into the show, but I think the show scared him.
In the past.
Well, the first time he's on the show, he was 7.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's actually accurate.
He was starring as the baby from Ally McBeal, the dancing baby.
He was doubling for the Olsen twins.
That's the first time. It was the Olsen twin stunt double.
Yeah.
You know, when the stroller. Yeah. The stroller got loose on one of the hills of San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was Seth in that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Kelsey?
Yeah?
You're 14? Oh, yeah. Kelsey the chick.
Yeah.
Kelsey's a guy's name?
I Kelsey Graham, all right.
Yeah.
I played football with a guy named Kelsey.
Really? I don't know. There you go.
It's a guy and a girl's name, both.
But there's more Kelsey dudes than
our
Kelsey
chicks. I've only known
chicks.
Girls, but you're right.
Really?
They're boys.
All right. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Okay, I was in my dad's closet. I was putting clothes away and taking some downstairs to be washed. And I found porn in there. I was just wondering how I should approach him about it and stuff.
What kind of porn?
They were just like the kind that were in magazines, but like letters and sexual letters and stuff.
Sexual
a lot of it.
Letters, like vowels?
That's your mom's porn.
Maybe it was like forum or something?
I have no idea.
What do you mean words?
What do you mean the letters?
No, that means it's the mom's.
Dear Jack Rabbit.
In his closet.
Yeah, but
all right. Well, what are you doing taking his clothes down for?
I don't know. They were dirty.
You do laundry around the house?
Yeah.
Don't you think she should be counting her blessings if she didn't find some bizarre, something like weird?
Yeah, you're lucky you didn't find a hooker's head. That's why I never went in my dad's closet.
In your dad's closet?
I never went in my dad's closet because I was scared I wouldn't find porn.
Right.
I didn't want to be horrified. Oh, there's nothing. No porn. Ah, my look on my face.
Bunch of sweaters look. with pads on their elbows. Ugh. Oh, my God.
Pair of platform shoes from the 70s. Pants that lace up in the front and the back. Ugh.
Now, Kelsey, so look, he's a person. It's normal. It's unfortunate that this sort of exposed you and sort of popped your bubble about how idealizing.
You really
him.
Want to confront?
No, you don't want to.
I don't even believe her.
Well, you don't want to say anything.
I think this is bogus. Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
Swear to God, it's not bogus.
You're 14. You're not part of the. You're not some Taliban wife or something. You live in the United States. You got a computer, right?
You listen
to us. So you find a magazine in your dad's closet. You want to know how to confront him?
Like, about it, because it was sort of awkward. I don't know.
Where's your mom?
Does he know you saw it?
No.
Where's your mom?
Sleep. It's 1 in the morning here.
Okay, listen.
Yeah, but could you talk to her about this?
No, don't talk to anybody.
She had a close relationship.
You're going into high school next year, right?
Yeah.
All right, listen. Children should be seen and not heard. All right?
Okay.
Kelsey, just quiet down and go to high school and be quiet, would you?
Okay.
All right. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying, Drew. I don't want to make everyone's problem a problem when it's not a problem.
No, I completely agree.
And I don't want to address
it.
I really wish more people in our position would just go, oh, shut up and sit down. Get lost. We got bigger problems.
Yes, I agree. We should do that with her and then say, look, it's normal. If you find something that about your parents' sex life, it's gross. But yes, it's thank goodness they have one and they love each other. And there you go. You don't want to think about it, but okay, don't think about it anymore. Go on. Move on.
My dad didn't have so much as a Sears catalog. He had nothing. Zero. Big, fat, goddamn zero. The only thing that really could have saved my childhood is if my dad had a couple of porn magazines somewhere. Nothing.
Nah.
You know why my dad didn't have porn magazines? Because that would have been something.
It would have required a pulse.
It would have required something.
Yes.
It would have meant there was something. And there was only nothing. You know what I'm saying?
But didn't you, during your dumpster, what'd you guys call it, dumpster diving?
I would go trash picking.
Trash picking.
Yeah.
You must have found stuff.
I found porn.
Yeah, okay. And that's probably what motivated you to do the trash picking, right?
Yeah, a lot of it was going after spent penthouses, and occasionally they had a magazine called We.
Oh.
Well, I couldn't pronounce it. I think I called it Oi or Owie or something. Yeah, it was OUI.
Which is We.
It was very international. Is that how the French spell We?
Yeah.
Oui, oui?
Oui.
All right, could you figure the We out? Well, you spoke French, right?
Mm, yeah.
You knew the We.
Yeah.
Should have clued me in. I was calling it Oi.
What was bizarre for me was people kept talking about Oi, and I was like, what? What is that? What are they talking about?
Yeah, very cool. Very international. You used to find that one every once in a while. And once in a while, you'd find the old nudie papers, like the Star and stuff. You know, you could see where there's some, listen, here's the thing. When you're beaten off to advertisements, that's bad. You know what I mean? Like the picture in the back, the topless chick. You want a nice rub down.
How about you with the raft picture at the pool supply store? That must have been embarrassing.
Was at the Big Five, actually, Sporting
pardon.
Goods. But, yeah.
Yeah. Taller aisles there, though, right?
Wesley?
Yes.
You're 14?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just wondering if there's any chance of you getting on celebrity boxing.
I was going to do that celebrity. Well, they don't do it anymore.
On NBC, it said there was going to be a celebrity boxing 2 thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should do that.
I didn't hear about that.
They'd have to put you in a real...
Are you sure? Because I think they may just be one of those new boxing shows. They're doing all those boxing shows.
Oh, yeah. They.
Fox is doing one. Sylvester Stallone's doing one.
Well, it said that, and then it was talking about the next great champ.
Yeah. That's a different show. Yeah, it's not celebrity boxing. But yeah, they did. They call me once, and they're like, "You got to fight China," and I said, "That's over a billion people." And they said, "No, they're small. I probably take half the country, but I don't think I take them all."
Take too long. Now you can do a half hour show.
Well, if you're fighting China, imagine if ever everyone just had one throwing star. Do the math. Over a billion throwing stars coming at you. You can't avoid those kind of throwing stars.
Right.
Then they said, no, China the wrestler, who's a chick. And I said, I'm not going to fight a chick. And they're like, oh, you're scared? I was like, no, I'm not. Not, but it's kind of lose-lose because, you know, if she knocks you out, then the chick knocked down. And if you knock her out, you just beat up a chick, you know. Yeah. And they're like, well, she's bad. She's serious. That's the thing about boxing, too. It's like everyone's attitude gets woven into the thing. Yeah. It's like, she's tough. She's badass. She's serious. Yeah. If you see, she got a tattoo.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what the hell's difference does that make? I'll beat her ass.
Yeah.
And they're like, she's a big gal. Like, okay, she's 5'8". 173, I'm 6'2", 195. So she has a size advantage. She's big for a chick.
She's never boxed before.
She's never boxed before. I'm like, look, it's a sport. It's one I've done for a long time. Oh, okay, so you're scared. I don't want to. It's a sport. I'm better at it than her, and I don't want to hit a chick and find a guy. Just go find a guy. All right, Joey Buttafuoco. Whacked around the ring, and Joey Buttafuoco was like throwing elbows and hitting after the break and hitting after the bell, and it was like you couldn't have, like, the only thing it really couldn't have got, I mean, he literally did everything but drop an elbow on her, you know, hit her with a folding chair after she went down. It was really it's like that, sad.
Yeah, sad.
Anyway, that's my celebrity boxing story.
There you go.
You want to talk to Brandy?
Mm-hmm.
Brandy?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me say this too. Well, I'm thinking about these kung fu movies. I got this new movie, Hero, coming out with Jet Li in it. And, there's all this sort of from the makers of Crouching Tiger and Hidden Dragon and all this stuff. Look, here's the thing. You can't run across a pond. You know what I mean? Since when, by the way, was everyone infused with the power to, like, jump up in slow motion, turn a double backflip, and land again? And now it's not only in the cosmic kung fu movies, it's also in, like, Charlie's Angels and stuff, where it's like, you shoot at me, we do it in slow motion, I see the ripples of the air as the bullet moves in ultra slow motion toward me, then I, moving the same speed the bullet is, although we're both in slow motion, but it's like taking two cars going down a drag strip at 120 miles an hour, you run it in slow motion, they're still both at the same pace. The bullet is going faster than the speed of sound. I'm moving about 11 miles an hour. That's the difference. If you can see the bullet going through the air and the ripples going around, you wouldn't see my heartbeat.
That's right. Right.
The bullet would strike me in the chest.
Before a beat.
And my chest would explode. I don't get to jump up in slow motion and do a slow spin around it or push the ambassador's daughter out of the way as the bullet is in the air just because you slow it down. Because we slow down at the same speed.
Yes.
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 The infinite wisdom of cinema.
If a rocket sled was passing an old guy on one of those Lark things you see at the grocery market, and you slowed it down, would they both be going the same speed?
Both be going extra slow.
So here's the thing, too. Now, every movie, in every karate movie, people get to run up the wall, do a split, jump in the air, and do these weird triple axels while they jump to the second floor of the building. But then we're supposed to believe if the sword hits him, it can cut him. And if the guy punches him in the face, it'll knock him down. But which is it? See, that's the whole thing. You guys are doing hand combat, but yet I can jump to the top of a three-story building doing somersaults in the air.
Oh,
so I don't go for that. Drew?
Don't go.
Drew, no go?
No go.
No, it's either on or it's off.
No,
you go fantasy.
The Kill Bill stuff, while I appreciated the sort of stylistic fantasy, the fights were like,
We'll just make it a regular fight, but you can't jump to the second story.
You can't also have 87 guys with swords and guns.
All right.
Defeat one.
As long as it plays, it plays. Right. Do whatever you want. Swing from the chandelier, do whatever you want, but you can't jump up to the 40-foot chandelier.
Okay.
You understand?
Agreed.
And by the way, speaking of that sound effect you just played there, Anderson, go ahead, play it again. I don't need that sound every time a guy pulls a knife from his sock.
Right.
It's like every time a knife comes out, it doesn't make the shing. I pull a knife out of the wooden rack. It's in at my house. It's shing. And you pull it out of your leather knife holder. Shing. You got one tucked in your waistband. You're wearing sweatpants. Shing. It's got to be against other metal. Yeah. All right. I'm going to get into what else is wrong, too. Brandy?
Yes?
Had a long talk at the office today about washing up on the beach.
What's going on, Brandy?
I'm 14, and I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Who got you pregnant?
Okay. Well, me and my boyfriend got in a fight.
How old is your boyfriend?
Yeah.
How old is your boyfriend?
19.
Of course. 19 and 14.
What?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, keep going.
Well, we were planning on moving in together because we were going to get... We were
going to
go get married. It was crazy.
All right.
And I got off work early because I was happy and everything. And I came home and he was...
Hold on. If you're in a good mood, you get to leave work early?
Yeah.
Hey, boss, I'm feeling extra jovial today. Can I cut out?
I got off work today because I was happy.
All right. That's what you said.
All right.
Where are your parents?
Where are your parents?
What
Country
do you mean?
Bear Jamboree. one place, the washboard, their place, the
cider
days. Yeah. All right, Brandy. All right, let's cut to Chase. He got you pregnant, and now what? What do you want to do?
No. I caught him cheating on me.
There's where it gets. This is where the plot thickens, right?
Yeah.
Because you cut out early because you're in a good mood.
No.
What kind of work do you do?
Yeah.
Brandy? Brandy?
Brandy.
She's uttered something and then disappeared. Brandy?
Yes.
Oh, there we are.
Oh, she's back. Okay, baby.
Where'd you go, by the way?
Is in my room. Just a second.
Oh, okay. Got to get him out of there.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Just pick up some of the... imagine you got like a dirt floor. Pick up like a rock and throw it at him.
Yeah, throw some dirt in the ceiling.
So, you caught him cheating.
The other thing that happens in a fight, dirt paralyzes.
Blinds you.
Yes, paralyzes.
You caught him cheating.
Yes.
Right?
Because you came home early.
Yeah, with my cousin.
With your cousin.
Uh-huh. Right. But luckily, you had another cousin.
No.
That you could... No.
So, I called one of my friends, and we went to a party, and I saw one of my... brother's best friends there, and I grew up with him basically. Like he was like another brother to me, and we got to talk.
What you do with your brother,
right? Oh, I see. Okay, well, if you're minded your brother, that's
makes perfect sense, then.
Right? So no. He had sex with you and got you pregnant.
Well, no, yeah, that's it. But yeah. It's not like I wanted to. I mean, it just kind of happened. I mean...
No, I know. It wasn't payback for catching your
boyfriend
cheating.
You could tell you didn't
cheating.
Want to. Yes, of course. 14.
Well, I didn't even want to. I don't know. He was drunk and... So, I don't know.
Okay, right. Listen.
He was drunk.
Where are your parents?
He was drunk. I didn't... By the way, when you're making excuses about it, saying, like, I didn't know what I was doing, I didn't want to do this, you're the one who's supposed to be drunk, not him.
Right.
I mean, right. We were both. I'm sorry. I'm not.
14. Drunk.
Okay. So what's going on? What's the plan? Because you got like a crazy albino white trash life ahead of you. And your name's Brandy?
Yes.
That is a second only to Cammy on the crazy white trash scale of horrible names. So
I thought I had the head stripper.
Now, Brandy. Yeah. Brandy's a disaster.
Oh.
Brandy, listen, you name your girl Brandy, you're asking somebody's just recycling about as good as they can do. Mm. I mean, Brandy, you just can't.
Where are her parents? I'm just curious. Where are your folks? Where are your parents?
Oh, well, right now, that's who I'm living with that no one knows except for one of my friends.
All right. How far along are you?
That happened about 2 months ago.
So you're 2 months pregnant.
You could say 2 months, by the way.
Okay. But
2 months, right?
Yeah.
All right. You have to get an abortion so you can give this kid a chance.
Or you have to give it up for adoption.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
That's the other option.
Yeah, I'm thinking, but the kid's still going to have a better life if they have the abortion than if it gets raised by the McCoys or the Hatfields. Yeah. I don't know which one you are.
Brandy, could you talk to your parents about this?
Can I?
Yeah. No, yes, you. What's the plan? You're going to wait till you actually are showing the pregnancy?
All right. How about you get an abortion? How about that?
Well, that's almost too late, too.
Almost. But not if you act quickly. How about that, Brandy?
Well, my friend got one, and she said she hasn't stopped thinking about it since she's done that.
That's true. There's a lot of consequences.
It's been a whole 5 weeks.
Yes, that's tough. It's tough.
But don't worry. Your friend, she'll hatch out 9 kids, and she'll forget about it by kid number 6. Brandy, how about you go to Planned Parenthood? Or, as they have in Arkansas, Planned Possumhood. It's just a little twist. It's manned by possums.
Actually, my parents are very wealthy, and they're very wealthy.
College.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very wealthy.
All right. That's the whole thing, though. In Arkansas, a house is like $3,500. So if you're bringing down 20,
you're very wealthy.
You're doing well.
It's all right. Whatever. She got a family anyway.
Brandy,
what is wrong with her? Why is she getting this stuff? Something horrible happened.
Can you stop acting out? You're 14. You're getting drunk. You're sleeping with guys as vengeance sex. You got a 19-year-old boyfriend.
You're pregnant.
Come on, get it together, sweetie, and you can take charge of your life right now.
Just go see
Planned Parenthood.
Start. Yeah, you need some professional help because you're going down a path that is extremely destructive. This is just the beginning, and you may have a child on your hands here.
Yes. All right.
This is the Corolla story.
Yeah. My sister ran away when she was about 14. It was good times. Listen, you just don't understand that some parents just are not parents. They're just, laissez-faire. My parents just let, they could do whatever you wanted. It wasn't a big deal.
I can't imagine that.
Just do what you want, but if you screw up, you take care of it. That's all.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I want to give a shout out for a new season of Crank Anchors on Comedy Central this year. Yeah, Bertram's got a good call coming up this Tuesday.
Crank Anchor.
Actually, be on tonight if you hear the show on a delay. That's why I say it tonight, Drew.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday's Comedy Central. What's up there, buddy? You ready to rock?
Yes, let's do.
Let's break it down. Let's get it on. Hey, Chris, you ready to get it on? Let's get it on, buddy.
It's very exciting.
All right.
Here we go.
All right. Kelly?
Yes?
I was thinking, Chris responds like a crowd would sound, except for he's only one guy.
Yeah.
Right! Am I right? When do we want it? And who do we want? But he's just one guy. Chris, you ready to get it on, buddy?
Okay.
That was Anderson.
That's good.
Fast fingered Anderson. Yeah. Seriously, ready to get it on?
Ooh, you can do it and drink.
He drinks coffee.
Right, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Kelly?
Yes.
You're 22.
Yes.
You ready to get it on?
Sure.
What's up, Kelly?
Yeah.
Kelly's an abuse victim.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way to talk to her.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Hi, I just kind of wanted to know, I was an abuse victim, as you said, when I was growing up by my father.
Uh-huh.
And recently, some of my friends and coworkers and stuff just in discussion have said that they think I should go to therapy. And I really feel like I'm at a point where, I'm sure therapy is always good, but where I'm doing fine for myself and I'm past all like the...
Why do you think your coworkers would have brought that up if there weren't some
evidence?
They're
jealous. Yeah. They're petty and jealous. You know people are, Drew. They want what you have. They wish they were molested.
Well, no. I'm sure it's because they want what's best for me and they're trying to.
That, or are they seeing things that lead them to believe you'd be benefited from therapy?
Well, why would they say that? By the way, what kind of place do you work at?
A veterinarian hospital.
Oh, so you're working closely with people.
Yeah.
And they noticing your mood lability, your sort of easy cheerfulness?
Well, I've worked there for 4 years, and I'm pretty close with most of the people there.
Yeah. All right.
And last year is when I confronted him, so...
Your dad?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, at first, he was really apologetic and admitted to most everything in front of my mom and my sister.
Ugh.
And then once it became that my uncles and the rest of my family were going to fall out, he did... a complete 180 back to how I was a liar and a bitch. And
oh, my God.
So I was basically, okay, yeah, I gave you an opportunity. You screwed it, so I don't need to talk to you anymore.
Well, here's the thing. Probably best that he didn't apologize and give you that satisfaction because then you would feel guilty for resenting him and hating him for the next 50 years. You know what I'm saying?
He deserves to be hated.
He should never be let off the hook.
No.
And it only becomes confusing when these guys apologize because one side of you hates them and the other side wants to accept their apology because they're your father.
I'm not a fan of this confronting the perpetrator stuff.
It's always sucks.
I really think that the goal is to make a cohesive narrative of your trauma, to incorporate it into some sort of narrative about your life where you understand that you are the victim of a sick person, happened to be your father, one of those things.
What do you mean? So it's like you distance yourself from it?
No,
saw a movie of someone getting molested?
No, quite the contrary. That's the way she feels about it now. On the contrary, you accept it for what it was, all the pain and confusion that went with it, but you don't feel responsible for it. You don't take it on as something about yourself that caused it. You realize there was a sick person you were exposed to, a person that you love very deeply, and so you have very ambivalent feelings about.
Yeah.
And try to make sense of it all for yourself, however you do that for yourself. That has nothing to do with confronting the perpetrator. And it takes a lot of work to do that, and it's not something you can do by yourself. It doesn't happen by yourself.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing. And he sexually molested you for a number of years?
Yes.
How many years? 10 years?
Well, there was physical and emotional abuse starting when
By the way, your mom deserves a nice, swift heel in the groin, too.
I would agree with that to an extent, but she has literally mental issues. Her whole family has, so she's not...
No doubt.
All right. So here's the deal. Okay, your dad's an idiot. Good. He didn't apologize. Fine. It'd be nice if he just something landed on him, like a piece of space debris or something while he was sleeping. I mean, it'd just be nice if he just killed himself. Here's the thing. Whatever he says to your aunts and uncles, he knows he molested his child. He's got a kid that doesn't talk to him. And if that bothers him, good, it should. And if it doesn't, then he's like a reptile.
By the way, we way too much in our society of this, well, he's got to live with that. Listen, these people do these things because it feels right to them. It feels good to them.
Yeah.
They've joined NAMSA or NAMBLA or whatever the hell, and they start defending that it's a good thing and it feels right, and how dare you say they should feel guilty. I mean, that's the problem here. Other people don't exist to them very often.
Well, that's why I suggest they put a shotgun in their mouth or somebody just puts a bullet in their head. I have zero problem with that, by the way, cosmically. But
Kelly, do you have a question about this?
Well, basically, I wanted to know, which I think you already answered, if no matter what, you need therapy.
You need therapy.
Yeah. It's a shattering experience. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Now, you work at the for the vet?
Uh-huh.
How much for the spayed and the neuter?
Dog or a cat?
Dog.
How much does it weigh?
60 pounds. 60 pounds.
A spay would probably be like 280, and a neuter would be like 200, 250.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm an AGVA, Drew. That's the...
Animal Abuse Society?
No. It's like they have... It's basically an association for circus performers.
Oh, yeah, really?
Pretty good medical care.
What do you do in the circus?
Plate spinner.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. Well, it's all stage people.
I thought it was Mr. Elastic Scrotum. I thought you did some crazy stuff.
Oh, I do Mr. Elastic Scrotum. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, puppetry of the scrotum. That's right. The point is I entertain on stage.
Of course.
For clowns and people like that.
Of course.
I just want to know so the insurance will cover it.
Yeah.
All right. You have to euthanize any dogs or cats recently?
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the job.
Yeah. That's a bummer. People crying.
Yeah.
Over their old dogs and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. You should... I'm not sure. And then what do they do with it? They incinerate the animals?
Send the stuff back.
Drew, in ashes?
Mm-hmm.
Drew, you had to put your cat down recently, right?
Yeah, I'm so incensed with veterinarians. I've had such moderately...
Well, they wanted $80 for something.
No, it's not just that.
Cat was fine. I mean, the cat was a young cat. It had actually just been a lower paw sprain, and Drew said put him down.
I don't like the non-thinking stuff. Don't use your brain.
What do you mean?
I had to say things like, the cat comes in short of breath, and it's, well, I think there's fluid in the lungs. Okay, what are the possibilities? Well, cancer, kidney failure, liver failure, heart failure, right?
Can't you work on a cat, Drew?
Evidently, I could, because I knew exactly what was going
on. You're a person. It's like, like someone who works on the space shuttle can't fix a golf cart.
It's a little different. But anyway, so they go, he goes, well, I can't tell you what's going on here. Could be a lot of things. Something's like a treat. And I go, first of all, how long, what's the life expectancy of this cat? 14 years. How old is this cat? 15. Okay.
Well, let's start from the cat.
He looks at the chart.
Looks at the chart. Yeah. Oh, I've had him for that long.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yeah, 15.
Yeah, and I was like, keep him comfortable. Well, got to put a needle in his chest. Puts the needle in his chest. Now the cat's going crazy uncomfortable, short of breath, gasping for air. And I said, hey, you gave him a pneumothorax. Well, hell, this, where'd the air come from?
Oh, true. Dropping the pneumothorax.
You nicked his lung with the needle.
And then did you yell at him, like throw him on the wall, and you tell him, stop playing God, man! Did you do that?
I said, now the cat's not comfortable. I'm not happy.
So you put the cat down.
Yeah.
How much you put the cat down?
I don't know. You should ask Kelly.
Shouldn't there be a kit where you can put your own cat down?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Put them down.
It's a slippery slope, Adam. What's to stop them from using the kit on babies and
wildlife? I mean, seriously, do you gotta spend like $150 to have your cat put down? Couldn't you just run over it? Just back over it? Cats nap in half the time in the driveway anyway. All you gotta do is not swerve one of these days, and the cat's gone. All right, here's what I'm saying.
All right.
Just look. You put a little rat poison in some of that Friskies and dig a little shoebox. It's all taken care of.
That's good times.
And that way, you know the job was done correctly. That's all I'm saying. Tony?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes, I am.
Your long-lost dad wrote you a letter?
Yeah. That was, all right. Pretty strange.
Yeah. Well, what? You hadn't seen him since you were a kid?
Well, my mom left him because he was an alcoholic when I was 3.
All right, hold on a second. Drew, by the way, it's the exact same call.
But look, look.
I'm talking to Bella. Shush up. Bella?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
You have stretch marks?
Yeah, on my knees.
On your knees?
Yeah.
You don't see it on the knee that often. You big gal?
Not really.
Well, how big are you? Let me do some math. Go ahead.
Well, I'm less than 120.
You're less than 120.
Stretch marks on your knees. Wait a minute.
But more than 180.
Are you on your? Are they on your thighs?
Huh?
Are they on your thighs?
Not really. No, just like one.
All right. So you have stretch marks on your knees.
Did you suddenly grow taller all of a sudden?
I don't know. I haven't grown in about like a year or so.
So I guess the answer would be no.
I don't know. I haven't grown.
I've never grown. I'm still a fetus. And you're under 120 pounds.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
5'7".
5'7".
15, that's pretty tall.
That's spindly. Here's the thing. Now, you sure it's stretch marks or not just those funky lines that people get?
See, that's what I'm thinking.
Around your knees.
Well, they're kind of in the back.
Okay, the back of your knee.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Bella. No big deal,
number one. Here's also the beauty of alcoholics. Whenever they talk about a skin problem, it's impossible to picture what they're talking about. Impossible.
Well, I'll tell you what I picture. I just picture like monkeys on a unicycle and crazy circus music playing. That's what they draw.
That's right. Absolutely.
And by the way, they say I have stretch marks on my knees, and it takes a minute 14 while they're behind. Like, is there anybody, like, if you say on your elbow or on your knee or on your chin, it's just, people just assume, hey, say on your elbow, that you're not picturing the inside of your arm. On your knees, you're picturing the part that hits the ground when you kneel, not the part you sit on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is that? Really, does it take 20 minutes for on your knees, for inside of or behind? Look, here's the thing. Well, now you're getting in a little more thigh-y area.
Right, yes.
And now we could see where it was more a possibility of it. You can't do anything about stretch marks unless you really get in there and, like, get a knife out or something.
Yeah,
but here's the thing. All those creams, all those lasers, all those quick fixes and all that kind of patch stuff, all that topical rub-on stuff, it's like if it sounds a little too good to be true, like you got some scarring and you're going to rub some cream on it, or you got some cellulite and you're going to rub some cream on it, it's going to melt away.
No way.
Never does work. It's like my nose is too big. I'm going to rub some cream on it, make it nice. I'm going to straighten my teeth using this toothpaste.
Right.
That's really what it is. It's like, look, you can clean your teeth using a toothpaste, but you can't straighten them.
Right. That's right.
Thank you, Drew. It's heavy, huh?
Heavy. Well done.
All right. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more depressing teenagers after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. You ready to rock?
Let's go.
Where's Closer Freaks out? Yeah. Tony, again?
Want to finish the dad thing?
Well, Cutter lives with grandparents.
Oh, here you go. Up in line one, Adam. There you go.
Oh, boob implants. Yeah. Heather.
Yeah.
You're 15.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I haven't grown in the last 3 years because I've been smoking for 3 years. And so I'm kind of debating on if I should or shouldn't get implants by the time I'm...
Hold on. You haven't grown...
You mean stature-wise, height-wise?
Well, my boobs basically haven't grown, and neither has my height.
Why do you associate your breast growth with cigarettes?
Well, because it stunts your growth. Like, because my friend, she's 21, she started smoking young, too, and her... Yeah, they haven't grown for like 7 years.
These are like superstitious natives.
Right.
And by the way, you believe all this crap that Rob Reiner and the rest of his tard buddies feed everyone. Like, cigarette smoking ain't good for you, but here's the deal. Champion boxers used to smoke non-filtered cigarettes like, hey, it's Sugar Ray Robinson for Lucky Strikes, you know. Athletes would smoke. Everyone smoked all the time. And then you die at 58. But
not at 4'10".
Not at 4'10". No. You get to whatever size you would have been with or without the cigarettes, and so does your chest, and that's about it.
The only way I could even associate the cigarette with breast size is it might diminish your appetite, and if you're very, very thin, that might diminish your breast growth. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And how much do you smoke, by the way?
Probably 8 cigarettes a day.
Oh. Well, that's it. I mean, if you're smoking a third of a pack, I mean, 8 cigarettes a day stopped your breast growth?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, listen. Okay.
Oh, by the way, it's okay for you to believe that if it discourages you from smoking.
It's a good thing to stop smoking, don't get me wrong, but that's not why your breasts are small.
Right.
Your breasts are small because you got Delta and A cup hand in life.
And by the way, you're 15. You've got 4 more years of growth ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to get implants. And what are you, an A cup now?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically. Yeah. Do you have a boyfriend?
No. Never have had one.
Well, you're 15. That's probably a good thing.
Yes.
And what's the big problem? I mean, there's probably plenty of girls in your class that are modestly chested. And by the way, I scream this over and over on this show, although I like the big knockers myself. No one else I know seems to. It's not a big deal for guys.
Maybe guys secretly do, but don't make such a show of it. Maybe they have a little bit less.
Could be it. Could be it.
A little more modesty of most of your friends.
Most guys like a nice ass, nice face, nice set of eyes. It's all. I'll tell you where boob comes. Boob comes for most guys on their list. You know, for most guys, it's the face, it's the eyes, it's the ass, it's the legs, it's the general sort of symmetry of the whatever. It's all the thing. And boobs use about fifth or sixth.
Hair's above
boobs most of the time. I don't like it, but that's the way it is.
Well, yeah. Everyone, like, at my school, all the guys are like, you know.
She lives at the beach.
Since they're so young, they're all like, ooh, boobs, you know, so.
Yeah, that's what they do. They talk a good story, but the reality is they're not hardcore.
And the girls that have boobs, by the way, they're concerned that that's all the boys talk to them. That's the only reason they pay any attention to them.
All right, so. You can stop smoking. That's a good thing.
Okay, number one.
And you can evaluate yourself in about 3-4 years from now. See if the boobs did grow. Hey, you know, I see a lot of these big boob videos, you know, and there was...
Yeah, no kidding. Is that what you watch?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'm shocked.
That's my thing. I don't know if I told him about that. That's not for the air. Yeah. Let's not talk about it on the air. Here's the point.
Might be embarrassing.
Every chick with
a big boob video.
Every chick with a big set of cans, it's always the same story. It's like, I was flat chested in the 10th grade, and then all of a sudden, It's always the same story. It's I don't know why. If you have big cans, you have to tell that same, spin that same yarn.
It's the same thing as if you're a supermodel.
Same thing, the supermodel. I was a tomboy. I was gangly. I couldn't get a date to the prom. Really? Elle McPherson could not? You could not? Couldn't get a date.
Claudia Schiffer.
Really? What happened? You burned by acid and had reconstructive surgery at 19 just after graduation? Or first off, you're 23 now.
Right.
How
much change could there have been?
How big a cow were you at 17? Oh, let's see. You're half inch shorter and your hair was a shade lighter. I think I could have done the math. I would have humped you. I would have banged the bejesus out of you when I was in high school. Happily. We would have never
even gotten
to the prom.
Something interesting in that, isn't there, that the reality is that somebody like that wouldn't want a date from 99% of the guys that are interested in them.
Yes. But the point is the big boob chicks have to tell you the story about how flat chested.
Well, Heather
they
will include in her story how she called a radio show. She was so upset about it.
Yeah.
And kapow.
A lot of boobs make the move around 15 or 16 with a lot of chicks. So give it some time. And then secondly, and then don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then you find
a
guy that
must be tough. Gotta be crazy living by the beach.
Well, she's calling from Costa Mesa. Yeah, it's got the word Costa right in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
take a break.
Oh, we're taking a break. Yeah, living by the beach. Here's the thing. If you got a dumpy chick, you got to move inland. You go to Riverside where she can be appreciated. Do you know what I'm saying? Move out to like El Toro. Well, no, that's too close to the beach. I was thinking Edwards Air Force Base out in like Mojave.
Oh, there you go.
Move out to Mojave. Then guys can really appreciate something. They see anything that moves, they're into. All right, let's take a little break, Drew. What do you say?
Hey, good.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Quagmire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So, Drew.
Yeah.
Drew, he brought it in last night. We didn't have time to get into it because we're going with Seth Green and Dax.
I know where you're going.
Drew got a chicken S ticket.
Chicken S entrapment.
Entrapment, ticket. Drew says. Drew calls it entrapment. And that was...
It wasn't even entrapment. It was worse than that.
A couple of months ago, it was rape. It was nothing short of rape. And that was a few months back. And
I took Anderson's advice, who said it was really easy to do a trial by declaration.
Right.
And they send you your money back.
Right. Yeah. So here's the thing. If you fight the ticket, first you got to pay it.
Yeah.
And then they decide whether they give it the money back to you or not.
Yeah.
You paid it. Then you did a trial by declaration.
Yeah.
And now what do? Do you write in a little thing that says what happened?
Yeah, there's a little page, a special form. You just write it down.
And you explain what happened.
On the ticket, 10 miles an hour, it says I was going. I took an allegedly illegal left.
Right.
Which literally what happens.
10 miles an hour.
Listen to this. I started to make.
If he said 10 miles an hour, it means you're going 7.
Well, this is what I said in the declaration. I said, look, now I stopped.
Right.
I stopped and looked. I thought, trying to make sense of the sign, saw a police officer walk into the street. And I thought, I better complete this turn because this guy's going to come after me for avoiding him.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, I figure I'll explain it to him. I'll drive up the hill. Oh, no, you completed the left turn. You're guilty.
Oh, so he coaxed you through the rest of the left turn.
What would have happened if I didn't complete? If I just stopped and kept going straight again.
He just gone after you and busted you for starting the left turn.
And for evading an officer.
I was afraid
of that.
That's right. So you put that on, you wrote that on, you declared that.
I declared.
You declared your innocence.
Yes.
And what happened?
Just get a little form back that says you're guilty. My money applied to your bail.
Oh, they're keeping your money?
Yeah, of course.
And there's no more to pay?
No.
And what about traffic school?
I don't think that's possible now.
You had to go for traffic school. Yeah. That window's open and closed?
Right.
All right. Well, they reviewed it carefully.
Oh, I could tell. It looked like somebody was stamping things as they just poured through pages and stuff.
We need more ink for the guilty stamp.
Yeah.
All right. So,
it's so ridiculous.
Well, listen, in this time of need, Drew, we don't have enough men. We're shorthanded.
Two guys sitting up there.
We're shorthanded.
You've been on that street.
We don't have enough cops. We just don't have enough of them. Let me explain why we don't have enough of them. Because they're parked up the hill giving tickets to people pay tons in taxes in $80,000 cars giving out chicken-ass tickets. That's why we don't have enough cops. Well, we got plenty of cops. They just ain't where they should be. They're out reading the back of their eyelids, napping up on some street, waiting for some old timer to roll through a four-way. They ain't out in South Central busting heads. We got plenty of cops. They're just not doing anything. That's the thing. That's what they don't tell you about. It's always, we don't got enough. We just don't, not enough. We don't have enough. Always seems to be plenty. I see him parked up the street. I see him, Drew, getting a ticket every other day. I seem to find Drew. Drew, I swear, if I didn't know, I would think you had your own cop.
Follow
do you
me
have
around.
Your own cop?
I'm beginning to think I do.
Yeah.
They're two guys.
Can we, is anyone, by the way, does anyone ever address this? Like, does anyone ever say, like, how about somebody says, look, we got a situation, we got a terror situation here. This is essentially wartime. Tell you what we're going to do. All the guys selling the dime bags at the park, the guys getting the handies from the transvestites, you guys rolling through the four-way stop signs.
Enjoy.
It's a good day. You guys get a couple years to do your thing. We're going to focus on the ports. We're going to focus on dirty bombs. We're going to focus on the airport. We're going to focus on terrorism here for a little bit. No, don't get me wrong. You put a knife in somebody at an ATM, you're going downtown. But other than that, we're going to ease up on the guys that are doing 57 miles an hour on the freeway.
On the chicken ass.
Yeah, we're going to lighten up on the chicken ass, and we're going to go ahead and focus on, shockingly, what you'd like us to focus on. Is there an American, by the way, that would have a problem with this? You know what I mean? Don't all we want the cops to do is sort of bust bad guys? Isn't that all they should do? Isn't that all they should be doing? It's just going after bad guys? And look, you could be a bad guy, yeah, if you're driving drunk and erratically, if you're going on, you know, excessive display of exhibition of speed or something like that. Yeah, like if you had your car in a drift in second gear, smoke coming out of the tires, clip some old lady's dog, and then fishtailed around the corner, by all means, that's dangerous. A confused Dr. Drew going about as fast as the wind would push his car in neutral. Yeah, we got to get him off. He's got to, now you know what? You got to be punished. Drew, have you learned your lesson? What's your lesson? Move? Here's the lesson you learn. It's, I got to get the hell out of this chicken-ass town. That's what it says. Yeah, like, what? Really? Here's the lesson I learned. We got too many cops. That's what it feels like to me. Oh, we don't have enough. We don't have enough. There's two of you sitting up there handing out nothing. Did you guys get busy? Do it. Oh, by the way, do you guys ever watch any cop shows? There's 90 cop shows on TV. You ever see them handing out a chicken-ass ticket to a doctor? It doesn't happen. You want to know why? Ain't exciting. Ain't good. Ain't real. Chicken-ass. Come on. Bring down some perps, would you? Fire your guns. Take some gangbangers down. You ever see that? You ever see that in a cop movie?
All the time.
A whole episode of NYPD Blues about a doctor, podiatrist, whole hour dedicated to him going 11 miles an hour. He's a madman.
Getting a confused manner through it.
Yeah, because the sign.
A time-limited left turn.
The sign clearly said no left turn on weekdays from 4 to 7. And, it's 4:18. And he's going 10 miles an hour. I could see him making a two-hour episode out of this, Drew. You got it. They got to take you down. I'm surprised they didn't start firing
at
you.
The comedy is he documented his 10 miles an hour. To me, I thought that was comical. It's like,
well, maybe it's 7.
How could you tell I was going to. Why'd you just put zero?
Well,
that's what I was going with, zero.
When we do our cop drama, we're going to make it 13 miles an hour. It's called artistic license. I know it seems a little crazy, Drew, a little excessive. All right. Meanwhile, they're just bringing the plutonium right into L.A. Harbor.
Yeah. And LAX.
Bring it right in San Pedro. Yeah. We don't got enough cops. Yeah. We don't have enough men. We don't have enough, Drew. Mm. Not enough. Really? Not enough.
And I think it was $185.
Oh, that's not enough, Drew. Well, here's the thing, Drew. It's got to be high so you learn your lesson. Because otherwise, how are you going to know not to drive in this chicken-ass town? It's really what it is. It's so convenient. And every 3 years, they just double the price. Like, they do all in favor of doubling the price of a speeding ticket. Yeah, it was $90. Let's make it $180. Okay.
And by the way, I was really kind of outraged. What is the matter with the judge? Really, that's okay with him that I was entrapped and stopped. That's okay?
Yeah, there's no... Nobody looks at it.
That's what it looks like to me. Didn't read the damn thing.
All right. Well, listen. If you all got with me, get my civil...
Where's my piece of paper? I want to see what the judge's name is. We're going to talk about it.
All right, go ahead, Drew.
Where is it? I don't see it.
What the hell do I know? I don't have your paper.
Oh, damn it.
Chris may have eaten it.
Oh.
He said he was peckish during the break. And?
Kevin Ross.
Kevin Ross. What kind of name is that for a judge?
Judicial officer.
Ah, yeah.
It's not even clear that I'm a judge.
Oh, it's a 19-year-old. Yeah, let me tell you how his policy is. He pops a zit. Whatever side the pus lands on is what he goes with, innocent or guilty. And yours must see guilty? He's got a little blood on
it. I see guilty.
Yeah, that's a 19-year-old. That's a junior college student is deciding your fate there, Drew. They're gonna wrap up real judges. Drew, they don't have enough manpower.
Oh my God.
Not enough guys. They don't have enough cops. Anne?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
Yeah. They don't have enough meter maids either. We don't have enough men on the street, Drew. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, it's signed on the 9th of July. I didn't get it until the August 3rd. What is with this?
Well, Drew, they don't have enough men. Let me explain something, Drew.
This is nuts.
Drew, they don't have enough men because they're all in the hills handing out chicken-ass tickets. They're not sitting behind the desk doing your paperwork. Now, please, Drew.
I can't even believe this.
Let's move forward. Let's focus now.
I can't believe this.
How did you think it was going to turn out? You're going to be exonerated with an apology?
Well,
Hello Kitty stationery?
Happened to Anderson.
I got my money back. It was great.
Anderson. Anderson would fall into the three strikes category.
Yeah.
He would be in for mandatory sentencing. Understand? They pop him. Anderson is doing 35 years. So that's one thing, Drew.
Yeah.
And plus, they know. They see you got deep pockets. They know you're driving a nice car. They get some money out of you.
Hmm.
All right. Anderson, they feel sorry for. I just figure he's a junkie.
You're done, buddy?
Junkie,
you're done? Let's take Ann. Let's go.
Okay. Ann?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh. A new trial.
What's happening?
Oh,
hold on. Drew's got a new trial. What's happening,
what?
Drew? Did you read the paperwork? What are you reading, Drew?
I am so beside myself. It says I have 20 days to request a new trial from the date the guy signs it. He signs it on July 9th. They mail it August 4th.
Yeah, all right. You got to hurry.
It's already gone.
Well, today's the... Oh, yeah.
29th.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
I can't even... I'm beside myself.
August 4th. So they sent it...
What's with the LA Municipal Superior Court?
Nah, Drew, they're undermanned. They just don't have enough men. They just don't. All right. It's fine. We're taking care of it. So they send it after the date where you can require and where you can request a new trial. There's nothing wrong with that, Drew. They're just good. They're hardworking folks like you and me. Plus, now that we got this whole terrorism thing licked, we don't really need. You know, they don't have any.
Terrorists have it right. That's all.
Maybe they got some ideas. All right. Ann?
Yes.
You're 23. What's up, baby doll?
Well, basically, I've been dating my boyfriend for a little over a year now, and a couple weeks ago, he told me that he went to the doctor and he found out he had herpes.
He had herpes?
Yes, he has herpes.
Okay.
And we've been dating each other for a year. We haven't been seeing other people, and he told me that he hasn't cheated on me, and he's a really good guy, and I trust him, but I just don't understand how he can all of a sudden have herpes.
Well, wait a minute. How is this diagnosed?
What was that?
How was it diagnosed?
He broke out, and he went to the doctor.
Where's the outbreak?
Where's what?
Where's the outbreak?
It's on his penis.
And have you seen this?
He's kind of keeping it.
All right. I really, does it have to be like, do we have to have the five Mississippi rule between everything?
If it's bogus and they're trying to figure it out and process it, yeah.
What?
Like, how am I going to answer that now? Let me think about this. If I've seen it, what would it mean?
And is this a real question or are you just an idiot?
No, this is a real question.
All right, let's pick it up. Let's go.
So how did they diagnose it? Just by visual inspection?
Yeah, I don't know. He went to the doctor and he told me that.
All right, I'm done with her. You know what? Because it took her 3 seconds to say yeah. I can't stand the wait. I know it sounds like I'm a big prick, and I got plenty of time to talk about my own crap, but I can't stand that. Like, and then it's Yeah, everything's like a two and trousers thing. All right.
Sick or something.
What's that?
There's like a weird static. I can't really hear you guys. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to apologize.
All right, and it's possible you transmitted from your mouth to his penis. That's a possibility.
Ooh. All right.
Okay.
All right. We got a bad connection, so I'm going to put her on hold.
And it's possible he had an outbreak before and never knew it.
Yeah.
You know, some guys, you can go for a long time without being diagnosed sometimes, particularly in women.
All right. Well, look, here's the whole thing. If you think he's a good guy and you know him and you trust him and you don't think he would cheat, then I'm guessing you should just stick with that.
Yeah.
If you think he may be the kind of guy who did it, then this is a little argument that he did. How rare is it, Drew, a year after you've been with someone to have a breakout that way? And then also, by the way, why would he tell? I don't think he would tell you about it.
If he'd been cheating?
If let's say she split the weekend before, he hooked up with an old girlfriend.
It would take
all
a bit
of a sudden
to get
there's
it out
an outbreak.
Of them.
Yeah. There's something going on. Yeah. I mean, I would just burn my dork with a cigarette. That's how I've done that. Take the herpes.
Just so you fell into
just
the
put cigarette
ashtray.
Right after it. It's like I burn it. It caught on fire.
God.
Singe my pubes with a plumber's torch.
Nice. Very nice. That's
yeah.
Nice touch.
It's good. Smells good.
Yeah.
It's a good smell. Burnt pubes. That's a smell. All right.
Pube brulee.
Really? So, Drew, seriously, my idea of putting a cigarette out on my infected penis.
Not bad.
Not bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's good times. But right. My concern, the reason I was sort of questioning more carefully is that often, too often, people are diagnosed based on blood tests, and they are quite inaccurate.
Right, but this was a visual.
Yeah. Which okay. is, the, you know, and then they should do a culture on it if you really want to nail it down. So.
All right. And culture's just rubbing the
swab
Q-tip
on
there.
Yeah.
Jasmine?
Yes.
You're 19?
I am.
What's up, baby doll?
All right, so my boyfriend and I are considering having sex,
mm-hmm.
but I want to know the different likelihoods of, like, different birth controls.
Mm-hmm. You mean pills versus patches,
yes.
that sort of thing?
Exactly, so, like, the likelihood of me getting pregnant if I was on the pill and, you know, he was using a condom, et cetera,
wow.
et cetera.
Pill plus condom?
Yes.
0-0-0.
Hey, really?
That would be some immaculate conception if that happened. It's virtually zero without the condom. You add the condom in, it's got to be close to zero. It
goes below zero.
Yeah.
So, actually, but statistic-wise, do you guys know the statistics?
Listen, it's like it's .0003.
Hey, Copernicus, how many zeros do we got to say?
Yeah, it's...
But statistically...
It's
zero.
It only be a theoretical possibility of pregnancy in that situation.
Yeah.
And so it'd virtually be the same as just fooling around and just having oral sex, like pretty much same statistics.
No, less. Frankly, less. Because in...
Virtually this.
Because you can...
Oh, and by the way, why even make a sexual activity? Why don't you say virtually the same as making a gingerbread house?
There you go. Gingerbread. Because as soon as semen goes out, it could show up somewhere. This, you're on the pill. You're on the pill. There's nothing better to protect yourself than some form of hormonal contraception.
All right, Jasmine, what's wrong with you? What's up? Why are you so paranoid?
Well, I'm just basically scared of getting pregnant.
Well, we
but
understand
I would love
that.
To have sex.
You well, would.
But if you're ready to take that responsibility, you take the one in a million chance, and you're taking that one in a million chance, you know, or what is it, one in 100,000 chance, down to zero with the condom, and there you go.
Do you, you're virgin?
Yes.
You are, and it's just, but you're horny. Yes?
Yes.
Well, and the reason you haven't had sex this whole time is because of this, or...
Well, yeah, and I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't have sex until I was married. But that's kind of changed now. Now I'm just wondering, you know, the likelihood with pregnancy and everything.
Right.
It's really very safe.
Don't worry about it.
No.
It's done.
Take your pills properly.
Listen, if you get pregnant, you send the kid to Drew. He'll raise the kid. All right?
Have your word on that, Drew?
Yes, he will. In a good quasi-Christian environment.
I'm taking him to the Dalai Lama. It's the next Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama will raise the kid. And, yeah, have a guy in an orange sheet and wire-framed glasses. And Hirachi's raise your kid. By the way, let me just word to all the religious nutcakes out there. Get a halfway decent outfit before you come and knock it. Like, Let's see. We got the Hasidic Jew over there. Yeah, he's got the payos. He's got the sideburns dragging on the ground. Hey, he's got the mountain man beard. He's wearing the modified beanie on his head, and it looks his shoulders look there's so much dandruff on that black suit of his, and I can smell the guy coming around the corner. How about you take a shower, take a shave, put a suit on, then we can talk about your crazy religion. And Dalai Lama, yeah, how about you get out of the Caltrans orange fitted sheet and put yourself some shoes on, maybe some slacks. We can talk about your crazy religion. Like all these whack jobs and their wacky religions and their crazy outfits. When I see a guy approaching, it's almost like a homeless guy. When I see the crazy outfit, I'm immediately, my ears close, and I just start looking at my feet and walk a little faster. Here's the thing. You got to lose the nutball outfits, and then maybe we'll listen. Your whole thing's about getting people over to your side. Stop with the crazy outfits. And by the way, this extends to the televangelist. Benny Hinn, you know, he's going to cure people. He has a part that starts in Fort Lauderdale and ends in Nebraska. Like his hair, he has a comb over that actually is lower than it start. The part is beneath his ear. Understand? It's down around his jaw. It's halfway up his neck. The thing comes around. He wears like a Nehru jacket, and it looks like he wears mascara.
Oh.
And he's got that sort of cream tan that's good, where he's orange. What are you selling? I'm buying. You look insane. Kick. No one just, if a guy just dressed sanely, I'd be much more apt to listen. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. He's wearing white alligator shoes with the 4-inch tassels and the Italian wafer leather on the bottom. Crazy outfits, crazy people with crazy outfits. The outfit's a giveaway. It's what we call a tell. We know you're nuts because you look like a homeless person with a sheet. He's bald with the crazy orange sheet and the sandals, framed glasses. All right, just the Taliban guy, all you guys with the crazy sheets and the things. Get some Haeger slacks and a Botany 500 sport coat, and we'll start listening to you. You know what you need to dress like? You ever see the catalogs for the big and tall places? That kind of thing. The big and tall, the casual big and tall.
Sure.
Something about the, there's something very soothing about the guy with the big gut who dresses nice.
Yeah.
It's nice a guy. Portly guy who dresses nice. That's a guy you can trust. He's got a sport coat on, but he's not wearing a tie.
Doing
the best he can with what the good Lord gave him. Yes, Drew?
That's a religious man.
All right. That's a guy I listen to. Let's take a break.
All right.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. We're all talked out because when we're taking a tinkle, Drew was got up on his high horse talking about religion and Aristotle and Socrates. Drew was really passionate.
We got going, huh?
Passionate man. I was staring at Drew. Was like when Aristotle wrote his famous, and I was looking down, going, "Boy, my whiz is yellow tonight." Aristotle said, he was speaking in a non-secular language. Boy, it's almost orange. Wow. Was that a multivitamin?
By the way, we don't speak of those things on the air. Because that's exactly what happens to all our listeners in their head at that point.
Well, we bore them with other things. But what is it in the multivitamin that makes the whiz yellow? Is that the B?
I think it's the B vitamins, yeah.
B.
These are chromo. They absorb light at a certain frequency.
Really?
It's just a ring structure. And they, you know.
I'll tell you, I understand I took the vitamin. Every once in a blue moon, you get that day glow yellow whiz. If I was a caveman, I saw that coming out of me, I'd chop my penis off with a club and then burn it. So it would never happen. It would freak me out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Beth?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rough. I can't hit the sink here, you know?
You could.
It's tough. You know why? Because they did one of those things where the sink is set back like 6 inches from the edge of the counter.
By the way,
I'd have to stand on some phone books to get it.
My parents have a place that was
actually get up on Chris's shoulders.
One of their bathrooms was made in the 60s, mm-hmm. and the sink is waist height.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get water. You have to bend over almost down to your ankles.
That's a good whizzing sink.
And the shower at your neck.
Yeah, people were shorter back then.
What?
I don't know why that is. Yeah. A shower should be high and sink should... Well, I like a sink low so I can whiz in it.
Yeah. This is really low. I can't.
Yeah. All right. Let's.
Beth.
Who are we talking to?
Beth.
Yeah, Beth. All right, Drew. Calm down. Beth?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
You can't orgasm with yourself or with boyfriend.
Sorry?
You can't orgasm.
Correct.
All right. And you get close.
Yeah. But it gets to the point where I just have to push him away because it hurts so bad.
What's he doing when he's trying to do that to you? What is he doing when you get close?
Oral sex.
Oral sex?
Yeah.
And is he real gentle with you or is he a little too aggressive?
It's both. I mean, we've been trying a lot of different ways, you know, but it all comes to the same thing. It's like I get close and then it's just too much and I have
Yeah, it gets
and
overwhelming.
Then he can't come back to it because it's too sensitive.
Yeah, that's a guy thing too, isn't it, Adam?
Stop.
too much.
Well, you can't get back to it 10 minutes later?
Well, it takes like a good at least 5 minutes.
To settle down.
And then by that time, I have to start all over, and then it happens all over again.
Okay.
I just wonder if he's doing the right thing, as it were.
You got to believe a seasoned veteran like yourself, veteran like you could produce some better results. But we'll never know.
Because she's right in that age when she should be having orgasmic function. She's got a stable relationship. There's no reason you have any trauma around your sexuality, Beth?
No.
All right. Okay. You like your boyfriend.
She likes her. Like, she's 20.
So this one I blame on him.
Also, a lot of 20-year-olds just don't have the big O.
No, but she should be. She's coming. It should be coming around. It should be coming online.
She's getting close. Yeah. And the thing is once you get that first one out, then they all just come popping out. It's game on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you need to do. You're putting too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
You're pushing too hard, and then you're freaking out. How about a real easy session?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Good advice.
Yeah, instead of...
But that's partly him too cooling out a little bit. He's got to...
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. He's got to really...
You want the difference between fast and slow?
Yeah, let's hear it one more time.
All right. This is the fast session of oral sex.
Got it. And now the easy one. Too fast. Still too fast. Too sensitive.
Shh. Don't talk, my sweet. Take your glasses off. Let me see. Wow. You have almost gray eyes.
Almost there.
That's beautiful. Beautiful
eyes. No, too sensitive. Too sensitive. Put it your way. Go away. Is there a male on earth that's ever done that?
You ever done that? I'm about to bust a nut.
It's comical even to think about it.
No.
It's not a male on earth that it could have that experience.
No, woman can't escape. I mean, if a woman actually, like, if you were 15 seconds away from orgasming and her head popped off and blood just started squirting out, you'd be like, I gotta hurry. Now that means hurry.
One second.
Gotta finish.
Blood.
We just gotta finish. Right? It just busted, like a major artery just blew.
Or just how about you're getting close and they try to move away. It's getting too sensitive. No. You'd be like some sort of like,
yeah, like
cougar,
a
cougar.
I was going to say like a rabbit trying to get away from a cougar that it's pounced on. No, big paw comes out and slides them right back in.
Impossible.
True, is it? You are cougar-like passionate. In your zest for lust. Yes. Your zest for lust. All right. I got to stop reading those Harlequin romances.
Wow.
Stella?
Hi.
Yeah. Once Drew gets one of them big patty paws into you, that's it. He ain't done until he's got a belly full of you. Go ahead, Stella.
Okay. About a year ago, I decided to change my life. I've been a drug user for about 5-6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And
since you were 12.
I'm 13.
Wow.
And really? I've done a lot of crystal and stuff, so I decided to change and tell my parents and everything.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And so, a day before I was going to leave and everything, I was trying to find my boyfriend to say bye, you know, again.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out he killed himself, whatever.
Your boyfriend?
I went to rehab anyways, but I just stayed there 21 days.
Well, hold on. Your boyfriend killed himself.
Yes.
while he was your boyfriend, or you, yes. you broken up? When's the last time you saw him before he killed himself?
Excuse me?
Had you seen him every day?
I was seeing him, like, yeah, well, he lived, like, 2 houses away.
Wow. Was he a drug addict, too?
Yes.
Was it an accidental death?
I don't know. I don't know.
All right, well, you know, drug addicts die.
Kill yourself, you do it on purpose.
Maybe an overdose sometime. Anyway, so you went to rehab and?
I didn't finish it. And now everything's like, oh, God, I don't know what to do anymore.
Like, go back to treatment. Get to a meeting. Get calls. Get a sponsor or call your old sponsor. Get going again.
Like, it's really hard because my parents, like, they support me and everything, but at the same time, they're really lazy, you know?
Well, they support. What do you want them to do? Going to rehab for you?
Yeah, you've got to do it yourself, unfortunately.
They support you. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
Call your sponsor. Do you have a sponsor?
No, I don't.
How come you didn't have a sponsor in the first place?
I wasn't there that much, I guess. I don't know.
So you didn't do anything in treatment, right?
I started it, but I didn't finish it.
You didn't do anything. You didn't do a first step. You didn't get a sponsor. You didn't do anything, right?
You got to get involved in your own treatment.
Yeah, go to N.A., raise your hand as a newcomer, tell them you need a sponsor, and just start going.
Could you do that?
It's, like, really hard. Like, now everything changed. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, I want to go back in it, but I want to quit, but I don't know what the fuck. Sorry.
He's trying the F-bomb on the air. And casually,
listen,
too.
I understand that you're confused and ambivalent. Go to an NA meeting, raise your hand as a newcomer, and if you can't do that, go back to treatment. There's nothing your parents can do. You got to do it for yourself.
I saw a whole special on Dateline. I watch all those news magazines, 2020 and Dateline and 60 Minutes.
I've got a
60 Minutes 2, and I watch all that stuff. What do you got?
I got one coming on. What is it?
No,
I do. We filmed it last summer.
Never heard of it.
Treating a couple of opiate addicts. It really came out good.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that? That thing.
Yeah, it still has an air jet.
Jesus, you were in you were still
sixth grade. Yeah.
All right. Listen. I'm not here to talk about you.
Nightline.
Nightline.
No.
Dateline.
What's the ABC one?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway.
Listen. 2020.
Downtown.
2020.
Yeah.
There's a sort of downtown show. Yeah. All right. When's this thing coming out?
I'll tell you. I'll let you know when I get a date.
All right. Well, quiet until then. Okay. Here's what I want to say.
Yeah.
I was watching a Dateline, and they had these poor, these families they talked to. Kids killed themselves. Apparently, a little bit of an epidemic. These college students just killing themselves sort of spontaneously. Not years of depression.
You know what I hear immediately.
Now, I know what you hear, but here's what I hear. Well, first off, wait a minute.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Good.
A little fart go. Yeah, Chris likes a little fart. Here. Don't talk. Okay. Here's the thing. Hold on. Nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal. They do the whole thing, and it makes a story. The bright kids, their parents love them. They're going off to college. The parents are visiting. You know, there's pictures of them on, you know, parent day, and they're visiting, and popular and good-looking. And you know, both the kids that they profiled were good-looking. They were young. One had, like, a hot girlfriend. The whole thing, you know, fraternity, this and that, nice guy. Pow. Fails a class or gets close to failing or something and just kills himself sort of spontaneously. And so I was watching it and I was thinking, please, they were depressed for years and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, well, here's the thing. You know, my mom was depressed. She locked herself in a room for 15 years. She never killed herself.
Right.
And you know, people do that. Like, oh, where were the warning signs? We blame ourselves. Where are the warning signs? If that were true, like I said, I should have been on the phone with the suicide hotline every 10 minutes of my entire childhood.
Right.
Somehow, oftentimes, like, this is just depressed people. They're just depressed. They don't kill themselves. So the whole warning sign thing is kind of weird. And I feel horrible for these families because they're like, we should have known. We should have done something. Meanwhile, they had, like, Mexico vacations planned with the one kid that didn't show up. It's like, I was watching, I get mad at my parents. I watch NASCAR, I get mad at my dad. I watch anything. I watch the test pattern with the Indian, it makes me angry. But the thing is, like, they're going, what could we have done? We should have known. We were supposed to meet her in Puerto Vallarta for her spring break vacation. She didn't show. And I was thinking, how can you blame yourself? I mean, yeah, there are things maybe you could have done, But the kid was off at college. The kid, you're paying for everything. The kid was going on a vacation with you. I mean, if this is the way it went, my sister should have killed herself like 30 times.
Right.
Like from age 11 to maybe 21.
If there were things you could have done. Yeah.
Or if there are things you did to get them to kill right. themselves. Like, I wasn't there enough or right. whatever. Is there a certain percentage of society, by the way, that just is going to kill themselves? They think I just... And
I don't know how to answer that.
Okay. How about the whole... People and when you're 18 or 19, you will do stupid things quickly.
Yes,
you will have a couple of beers and think it's a good idea to jump off the roof into the swimming pool.
The key. When I hear a sudden suicidal act in a 18 to 22 year old, drugs.
That's I know.
End of story.
I know. And they never, obviously, it never came up and whatever. And they interviewed the guy's friends and they did the whole thing and everyone's friends, and it didn't seem to be anything. I'm sure there was some drugs around. Now, quiet down, because everyone does drugs in college.
No, I know, and some people have horrible reactions to them. And, you know, there you go. The reality is, though, the thing about people when drugs is when there's drugs involved, people lie their ass off. And I know, yes. I just like you and I play Karnak here in this show, I know what the truth is, and I can just smell it on people. And you have to go, no, it's not what happened. Here's what happened. And otherwise, they're going to BS you, and that's going to be the story on the news now.
All right, so you think this is drugs?
I think hallucinogens can do this, speed can do this, opiates can do this, alcohol can do this. And even when they're not even addictive, just as an acute reaction.
Now, what are they supposed to do? Just breathe the air and drink tap water?
Well,
it's still college, for Christ's sake.
Pot and cocaine.
He went to Arizona State. He's got to do something.
Strike three.
Yeah, okay. So here's
the other guy, San Diego State?
No.
No party there. No.
She went to the school in it was beyond Santa Barbara. It was even better. It was a comical school.
And this is not.
No, I just mean it was UC Morro Bay.
Right, right.
Like, I mean, literally.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, there's a school at the. Yeah, it's in Hearst Castle. I was like, oh my God. Believe, but look. Here's the thing: they didn't talk about drugs. No one embraced. It was they interviewed everybody. No one. The word drugs never came up. I'm thinking it would have, but if there was something. But the point is there's certain people who will, if there's a gun nearby, if depression sits in, they will just do it. Certain and the whole thing. why and why didn't we see the warning signs? We didn't see the warning signs.
There weren't any.
Because there weren't any warning signs. Right. And by the way, if everyone has said, oh, I'm having a rough day or I'm pissed off or I'm staying in tonight, you guys go on that. You'd be on the phone all day long.
Yeah. There are warning signs, but very few people actually manifest them. That's why some people, when they're depressed, are very dangerous.
Yeah.
There are people that we take care of for depression, and we say to ourselves, this one's dangerous because this one will not warn us. He'll just do it.
Right.
Nothing you can do about that.
Well, let's take a break, Drew.
Yep.
I'm going to need you to kill yourself during the break just because I'm trying to prove a point.
I need to give you some warning signs first.
Okay.
I'm giving away my stuff.
I should have known.
My keys.
I should have known.
Here's my guilty paperwork.
Well, that got it started. Yeah. We'll take a...
Now I'm going to kill myself.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. So anyway, Drew.
First of all, say we're not disparaging those parents, and our heart goes out. You know what I mean?
We weren't talking smack on the air. That was during when we were taking the tinkle.
Oh, okay. Well, just to clear my.
No, what I'm saying to the parents that sit around and kick themselves, if there's ever anybody who's done, why didn't I do more?
The
person killed themselves.
Yeah, there's no warning.
And like I said, the warning signs.
And all I'm saying about drugs and alcohol is that's an important thing to address early in college. And there are, at 18, when people, their first year of college, something like 30% of college students do not get past the first year of college.
Really?
A lot of depression, a lot of stuff goes on in that year.
Here's what I'm saying to you, Drew.
Yeah.
Not as a partner, but as a human being. Well, I was going to say sort of friend, but not a close friend, but as someone who knows
you. You're getting weird now.
And you're friendly with. But not tight.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we might go out to lunch, but we wouldn't see a movie. Yeah. That kind of, or, okay. You're going to put the screws to those kids. You're going to freak them out. You got to give them a little breathing.
No, I know.
When your kid's going to get a B and kill themselves? You're going to put too much pressure on them. Let them find their way.
Absolutely.
You're going to freak them out. They'll jump off the bell tower at the college.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's what you say. Meanwhile, you're going to put the spruce here's, here's,
here's,
them out.
Here's the subtle part. I'm always telling them, hey, just take it easy. Just, you know, can we help you?
I know, but you're cracking the whip with the other hand.
That's what internally I wonder if they you know, I'm so intense already, would they take that on?
So. Let them find their way. They'll go to a good college. They'll be fine.
You're right.
Gomez?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, but it's hard to hear. I can, you need to increase my volume, but I don't like my phone's still wired. Yeah, I can hear you, but it's just hard to hear. Real hard. You got to speak up.
All right there, buddy. What's happening?
Buddy, I hear you easy now. Come on, I hear you. Keep that tone up. I can hear you. Keep that volume up. I'm live. So, Roger, tonight, Charlie. Now, what you want to talk about? Which kind of tactical operation you want to talk about?
Hold on a second. I think I just bought some livestock.
Well, that is either speed or bipolar manic.
Well, let's hope. What that is. I hope it's both.
No, I'm ex-military. Top-line military. I'm not
top line.
Come on.
What service? What branch were you in?
No, neither. I'm ex-airborne ranger. Pat Tillman, the guy that died.
Motivate.
I went to bomb squad, EOD in D.C. I'm over every federal agency under the sun back when I was 22. I'm 35 years old. My date of birth is 4-3-69. I'm a top line. I'm all alive. And nothing to do with drugs.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're trained with weapons.
Well, Adam, it sounds like you.
I don't know. You know, Pat Tillman, the guy that died. I'm an airborne ranger. I served headquarters back. I went in, I was 18th. I can do anything. What do you know?
Okay. Gomez, I can't believe you haven't been called up into Iraq.
I'm trying to call you up. I've got to have more terrorists in the wire. I can't believe. You can go to my website. You know, online. You're on website, come on. Hey, everything happens for a reason. Come on. I want to talk to you. Let's see 5.0. This is the first adult conversation we had in love lives ever. Doctor, I can read the code. I understand.
I've never heard the guy do the someone else do the lightning round.
No, this is mania. And this listen, mania? these guys. Hey, look, watch this. Gomez.
Well, Drew, can't you tell?
Okay.
Oh, did he curse?
We didn't hear cursing.
What word did he use? And by the way, Drew, you don't know when the caller gets potted down. You're just talking to him.
He used at least the F word. I dumped the whole thing because I thought he said something else too. He was going too fast for me. I couldn't keep up.
Well, I didn't hear the F word.
I didn't.
He said it was the greatest effing call he's ever done, or something like that.
It's so fast you could easily miss it.
I know, but if you could easily miss it, then
called,
who cares?
Okay, that's called pressured speech. It's pressured. It's like it's going with pressure.
Yeah, some guys for gab.
It's derailed thought process, tangential thoughts. They don't necessarily connect.
I followed them. He was airborne, like Pat.
He told Brian that he's doing speed right now.
Yeah, well, it's speed. It's either speed or bipolar manic. And one of the interesting things about these guys is when you ask them, one of the sort of characteristic phrases that they is they figured it out. Let's ask Gomez if he figured it out.
Drew, have you ever been right? That's
no,
my characteristic phrase for you.
Drew,
ever been right? Oh, by the way, it was 15 seconds of dead air, and Drew's like, all right, Gomez, now that you're listening.
No, I figured it was potted down, but I thought you'd pot him back up again.
No, I didn't hear you.
Yeah. Okay, well, Gomez, you cannot use...
I'm not using nothing. That's right.
Foul language on the air.
That's right. You didn't do that.
We will hang up on you.
You just said it twice more.
He did not?
Hold on. I'm just saying that because you can't understand a word the man's saying.
Oh, okay. Anderson, please let him just amble on. Gomez?
Yeah, I hear you, but I barely heard what you said.
Gomez, are you supposed to be taking some medication?
No, I'm not. If you need to go slower, I can go slower.
Thank you.
Comment about the last customer not being able to talk fast enough, so I'm not my fault that I know how fast your audio.
Have you sort of figured things out, Gomez?
Well, no, I just figured out by listening to you talking in the background that it's hard for you to understand how fast I talk. That's because I don't know what everybody else is. I hear you complain about how long the delay is for that girl. She hesitated and didn't know how fast. So I don't know how fast you want it back in your face.
See all those tangential.
I'm following him. I miss Speedy Gomez's.
No, it's not. Listen. Am I guys?
Gomez Alice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to do with speed. It has to be able to. It has to deal with how fast it flies. That technology, a T1 line. How fast can you push your keys? How fast can your T1 line? Internet. Where do you want to go today?
Well, I'd like to go to Saneville.
Okay, gone. Go www.tk.
Right. What do you do for a living, Gomez?
Enjoy myself.
Enjoy yourself. But what do you do for a job?
Well, I don't need a job.
Why not?
I'm ex-military. Why do I need a job? I have a job in my Bible. A Job. Yeah, hold on. Get the next question. I enjoy myself. I'm ex-military. What do I need to work for?
So are you disabled?
Have I got a VA and got my seal? Nah.
Well, when you're in the military, you get paid like $800 a month for 4 years.
Top line. I worked in D.C. during the Gulf War. I was at the top. I worked for every federal agency in the sun.
All right, but don't
no,
you?
It's not about what. It's what can I do. Once you work for everybody, and during Gofor, I was Gofor. Now, Pat Tillman, the Arizona football player, Cardinal.
No, you've not brought him up before. That's interesting.
Yeah, but he turned out $3.4 million. He should have kept his day job. See, in Latin, it's sua sponte.
Right.
Ranger is
right.
Of your own accord. You
and sometimes they play night games.
Because you do it.
Okay.
So quickly.
Hey, Gomez, where do you live?
Where do I live? Where? I can't hear you.
You just said. You just said.
You repeated the question.
You have to speak up when you want to interject. Where do I live?
Where do you live?
Where I am, yeah. I know. I know, weekly rental, it's like $220 for this terrible place. It's run by and the people that, some of it, you know.
Weekly rental. And where do you get the money? Where do you get the money for the weekly rental?
My minimum wage, basically, there's nothing. You know, minimum wage, you can pay your rental. But I don't need, I get money. Money, you can go. America's a throwaway society.
Do you work?
America? No, 16 cans of aluminum get you $1.10. And that's something like that in California, correct?
Yeah, what's
a pound of aluminum go for in California?
So well, you collect
true.
Ten.
I focus on the 2-liter bottles.
Trash, come on, go think, guys. Sopranos, waste management. If I'm a recycler, I recycle. I'm a recycler. I'm environmental.
Okay. All right, that's good. All right,
collect ten
everywhere. Oh yeah,
all right, collect cans.
Hey, come on, back to Drew's ticket. Mm-hmm. I have more officers respond to me, and I'm saying where terrorists are, where chop shops are, and where drugs are. And see, your doctor out there is doing 7 miles an hour in a no zone.
Well, how are the terrorists going to strike next?
Oh well, how would I do it if I was going to do it? Well, if I was going to be in Bin Laden, what I would have done if it had been like...
a second. I'm guessing Gomez would take a shopping cart and load it full of fertilizer and recyclables and just ram it into a flop house.
That'd be it.
Because you got to go for what you know. How would you do it, Gomez?
I don't know. See, now, this is an NSA policy. I don't know how much you want to give away. I can tell you for real if I was it. But I don't know. Now it's a question...
What is it? Why is that the cornerstone of crazy, which is I got information. I know it's delusional. I could tell you about this. Meanwhile, I'm sleeping on an army cot in my shoes, by the way, every night. But I got information the government needs. Great. Is it the equivalent, Drew, to the people that are into reincarnation and they were nobility, the last one? They're never. It's always.
It's a little closer to I'm Napoleon.
Yeah, when you go crazy, you always trade up. You always go crazy.
Grandiosity is always a grandiose component.
Yeah. All right, Gomez. Sorry, buddy. We got to take a break. Hang on, though. We're gonna give you a shout out and say bye to you after this. All right. Well, that's it, everybody. That's the show.
No, see, they disconnected from us.
Oh.
We wanted to talk to Gomez.
Say bye to Gomez.
Yeah, somebody disconnected us.
I want to say bye.
Yeah. No, we can't.
No, we can't. I tried to do it. I tried to do it with telepathy.
I'm here. I hear you.
All right, Gomez.
I hear you.
Here, buddy.
Today, the 10th or 11th?
It's now the 11th. Now, listen, stay on your meds.
Come on, you talk about less. Let me speak for the 11th. This is
Godspeed.
I'm reading the 11th. It says, removing the ground glass. No, we're doing 12-step program.
Good. Do the
13-step is us getting off the air. All right, stay in that 12-step and remove that brown glass and pot him down. Thank you. All right, we're going to go take a little break. We'll be back tomorrow night. So until next time, Santa Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Wow, you have almost gray eyes.
Almost there.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, no, too sensitive. Too sensitive. Put it your way. Go away.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.